It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, on a Monday. A reaction Monday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, on the ones and twos. Joe's making sure everything's in order.
Yeah, somebody came over and moved all the pictures around. I'm not a fan of that. I like things set up a certain
way. Making sure the background looks good reminds me of a guest we used to have, but anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Forgot about that. Sound better, buddy.
Thank you. I feel better. You know, sometimes, and I am not the best at this, when you're sick, you just need to be sick and let it run its course. And
yeah.
So I did that this weekend. You know, Friday was maybe not a show for the record books, but we made it.
It was something, man.
And we appreciate everybody for bearing with us and me and how I sounded. Like, that I was telling Dr. Crane at like some point into the show, I was like, I need Joe.
Right. I'm trying to set stuff up.
Please get him on the phone.
I couldn't get things set up properly. But it's just one of those days, man. You learn. Oh, yeah. But don't let it define your whole day.
Nope.
Has the great Stoic said, things happen to us all the time, but how we react is what we can control. And so we just laughed it off and went forward.
We did. And so we're good. We're back. I spent the entire weekend just kind of hanging out at my place, and it was nice.
So you really did not go to Brew House at all?
I may have stopped Saturday night.
All right. As long as you're feeling better.
So Friday, all day Friday, I stayed home. I've been cooking again. I've been trying to eat better, so I've been cooking. So that's been fun. So I did that.
Let me check the 911 logs for fire department.
I grew up in a restaurant. I think I know how to cook.
Okay. What's your go-to dish?
I don't really have one.
Fruity Pebbles?
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms are
Papa
so
John's.
Good. Papa John's is good too, man. Well, good.
No, so I did that, and I watched
Say it.
More preseason football than I think I ever have, and that should be a form of capital punishment.
Let me put you on my prayer list.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful.
It is. I watched the 49ers Saints game last night.
Yeah, me too.
Brutal.
Terrible.
Brutal. Spencer Rattler is awful. Those backup quarterbacks, the Titans backups are awful. The NFL right now, beyond your one, if you go two and three deep, terrible. It is a terrible product right now in the National Football League. It's really bad. And Saturday night with the Titans was no better.
Yeah. And you're right. It wasn't. But, so I watched all of that game. Like, Saturday, you know, I did some stuff at the house, started feeling better. And then I ended up watching the whole game. I was like, okay, cool. Got the two TVs set up. I'm going to watch the Titans. And then I think the Braves. I was watching the Braves and, watching some other preseason games and stuff. And it was like I sat there and watched that whole thing because I wanted to get a view of the backups and, you know, some guys that might make the team.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, just kill me. This is terrible.
But we do this every year. We can't wait for football to get here. We love it. And then we suffer through the preseason and watch this team. And, I mean, if Will Levis is your answer, and, you know, he's fine. I think he'll be a fine quarterback. If he goes down, I'm telling you, man, go to the single wing to Tony Pollard because Rudolph's terrible. Willis is terrible. I don't know what they're going to do. I'd go the single wing, have him run the ball, bring out the leather helmets, and then him and Spears can switch off back and forth. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's funny. Like if they lose their main guys, like they're in trouble and they might be in trouble even with the main guys just because of, you know, the lack of depth on the team. But there were some guys that stood out to me. Like Chance Campbell's making this team. No doubt.
Okay.
Good
Is
player.
He starting?
I don't know if he's starting. No, I don't think he's starting. But like I'm gonna say guys that I think have earned their spot that I like.
So Campbell makes the team, special teams, we'll never hear from him again. All right, good. Next.
Not special teams. Like he'll be a role player. Okay. He's, I mean, he was making plays the other night on defense.
Like, you know, plumber knocking on the door?
Right? No, he was good. I mean,
not that kind of role player.
I mean, Joe, you played football. You know that you got to have guys more than the starting 11.
Yeah, but I'm not counting on this guy to be a major contributor to the team. This never, it never happens. It never happens.
Really? Never happens.
Give me a Titan player who was on the bubble besides Drew Bennett, who stood up on this football team and, like, wow, did something.
Kyle VandenBosch?
No, he came over from the Cardinals. He was a number two draft pick. Yeah,
but was he really expected to do what he did?
His season, and once he got his knee fine in Arizona. I get what you're saying.
Right. I think he exceeded expectations is what I'm saying.
But a lot of these guys are going to be gone, and they're going to be relegated to the bench. They're going to be brought back up and forth on the practice squad back and forth.
Shush
it.
You are a negative Nelly.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I'm a Tony Topper.
Okay. Well, I know some toppers. People that are like, oh, I could top that.
Tony Topper. No, I like Chance Campbell. I think he's done a good job.
Look, and I feel like Jalen Harrell, who's a late round draft pick from this year.
Yeah.
Like they could their seventh round picks could make this
I
team.
Agree. I like
and
it.
I figured you would like a story like that. Like Jalen Harrell to me has been, and Brian Callahan's been singing his praises, but watching him the other night,
right.
I mean, he was all over the place.
Well, I mean, it was the one, like, he got that sack. Quarterback held the ball for so long, he stepped up in the pocket, and you could have sacked. I could have sacked him.
Okay.
Right.
He still got it.
I get all that. But, I mean, is he going to contribute on game day? Do you think he will?
I do think he will, because they're so thin at pass rusher.
Okay.
Like, prime example. Now, you've seen a small sample size of Jalen Harrell, and I don't know how much you watched the other night. But right now, today, I would take Jalen Harrell in a significant role over Rashad Weaver.
I agree with you on that. Yeah,
I would take Jalen Harrell over Rashad Weaver.
Rashad Weaver's done nothing in the two, 3 seasons he's been here. Nothing.
So, to me, Jalen Harrell, you asked for a prime example of something, Courtland Finnegan. Courtland Finnegan was a seventh-round draft pick. Not expected to do anything and became a starter.
He made the most of his opportunity.
Yep.
Do you remember who was suspended that allowed Finnegan to play?
No.
Donnie Nicky.
Oh, was suspended. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So Finnegan in that first game versus the Jets took advantage of his opportunity. And that's the thing. Take advantage of your opportunity that's presented to you. Courtland Finnegan was a prime example. Chance Campbell, prime example. Harrell, prime example of doing that. Take advantage of your opportunities. Because they're few and far between, and once you do it and get in there, you can make a difference, and you're on the team. And I think it's great. Back up 1 second real quick. Somebody's talking about backup quarterbacks, and somebody said, well, Callahan worked magic with Jake Browning last year in Cincinnati. I think Jake Browning's a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
Very good. Much better than a Rudolph or a Willis, and he'd been in that system for a while, known everything. So,
Browning, but they adapted the system to him.
They did. That's true. Browning's going to get paid next year. Some team's going to sign him because he's got one more year with the Bengals. He'll get paid next year. But Callahan was part of that. So if Callahan can work his magic with the backup, that's fine. But if he has to, man, this team goes 3-14. I'm telling you, Levis has to be the answer. If he's not, that's going to happen, man. It's going to be a rough, rough year.
6438 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tannehill is still sitting on the couch. Hopefully he stays there in case we need him.
Yeah. He's like $14 million, $15 million.
Break glass in case of emergency, is that what he is?
Arthur Smith kind of led us down that path. Like, Tannehill's in a good place right now.
Tannehill, Vrabel, and John Robinson have like a secret bar they go hang out at.
they're in a special place.
Just, you know, loathe the Titans.
Yeah, I get it, man.
Shane in the Borough says, going back to the single wing tee offense might actually get me to watch NFL football again.
I'd love it. I'd love it, man. It'd be fantastic. Single wing was the best. Johnny Majors, baby, 56. Yeah. A lot of those guys back in the day, single wing. It'd be a lot of fun. But I don't know. But here's the deal. While I was watching Chase on site, the 49ers Saints games, all the offenses in the NFL are the same. The only one that's any different is because Mahomes, and he's got carte blanche to do whatever he wants. Did you see the behind-the-back pass?
Yeah, and did you see how he threw Kelce under the bus?
Yeah.
That was
hilarious. I loved it.
He's like, well, he ran the wrong route, so I just, you know.
Have you seen Kelce, all the weight he's dropped? He looks completely different.
Yeah.
But that's the deal. Mahomes has the carte blanche to make mistakes like Favre did when he played. But all the offenses are the same. The RPOs, they're boring. The passes last night in the game, nowhere. At least Willis tried to throw the ball down the field a little bit. Those passes were high and one got intercepted. But I don't know. I'm waiting for a new offense to emerge in the National Football League that's different and fun. And I don't know if we're going to see that for a while.
Yeah. I agree. 615-737-1025. Also, some Predators news this morning. Kevin Weeks reporting of NHL Network, ESPN, reporting that Askarov, the number one prospect for the Predators and goaltender, has asked for a trade.
Good for him. He's entered the transfer portal.
Well, he's trying to.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah.
Do you blame him?
Yes and no.
Well, give me the no.
I think a lot of the reason that they signed Scott Wedgwood to be the backup is because of the immaturity and the impatience that Askarov is showing. My guess is that when, you know, he was lights out for a good chunk of the season last year, and then things fell off as they tend to do. And he got benched during the postseason and didn't get his spot back. And again, I'm speculating. I don't know anything necessarily. Okay. I think he pouted about it. I think he wasn't happy about it. And to me, that showed the organization, hey, he may not be ready, and from a mental standpoint. And I agree with that. I mean, playing goal in the NHL is hard. And you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. And, you know, as you know, you got to know how to handle the downs more than you really got to know how to handle the ups. And, you know, if he's going to get down when things aren't going right and pout about it, then
right,
he's got to grow up a little bit.
He's got a guy in front of him that's got a 7-year contract.
Okay, I'm getting to that. And then that happened too. And so from that standpoint, yeah. But what I would do in that situation is you call your agent, you get him to set up a meeting, you go and you sit down with Trotz and you go, okay, I need to know, like, what are your plans for me? If, you know, if this is not going to happen, like, you've now signed this guy. I think if he was in place to be the backup, then this could be different. But he's not. Like, he's not even in place to be the backup.
So are you mad he went to social media and did this? That's how they always, yeah, kids do it. That's,
I mean,
how they all,
I'm
do
not,
it now.
I'm used to it. Like, the passive aggressive sitting on the beach, things happen for a reason post that he had. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was like,
good,
okay,
for him. Look,
whatever.
If you don't want to be here, don't be here.
Sure.
If you're going to sit there for 3 or 4 years.
But guess who? Guess who holds all the cards and has all the everything in his corner?
Jesus.
Well, besides him, Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz, right.
He doesn't have to trade him.
No.
You know, and I mean, he could he pull the KHL card? Maybe, but I mean, they benched him too. So, you know, I don't know.
It's no good hockey in Kentucky anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing there. All right, well, good for him.
We'll get more into that in a little bit. 615-737-1025. Big show plan. We're going to react to the Titans. Also, a big announcement from the Nashville Fairgrounds that we'll tell you about here in just a little bit. But we want your participation. 615-737-1025.
I'm excited about our question.
Okay, throw it out there.
Okay, our question of the day. Dr. Crane, listen to this. It's a great question. Who is one athlete that you know because of one thing they've done, good or bad? Who's one athlete that you only know because of one thing they've done, good or bad?
Can we take somebody out of this?
Sure.
Because it's obvious. OJ. Can we take OJ out?
But you knew OJ before.
I know, but people are going to say OJ.
Okay, sure.
So let's take OJ out.
For example, for me, it's Tim Smith. In the Super Bowl, the Redskins, he ran all over the Broncos. Never heard of him before, never heard of him after. He ran for more yards in the Super Bowl than anybody else. Tim Smith is an athlete I know because of one thing. Our group text last night was fantastic. So who's one athlete you know because of one thing they did, good or bad?
I thought of one after the group text.
Tell
and
us.
I'm going way deep, and I think you're going to be very proud of
tell
me.
Tell me. No, you got to tell me now.
Tyrone Prothro.
Hold on. Was it the injury?
Yeah. He was the wide receiver at Alabama that,
yes,
had the most gruesome, and I think that was the year before Saban? Or?
Yeah, that was 05 or 06.
The Shula, yeah. Yeah,
that's like a perfect one. Perfect.
I mean, it sucks. It ruined his career. But like, every time I hear the name Tyrone Prothro, I'm like, oh, that's the dude that broke his leg.
That's a good one. That's, yeah, exactly what we're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll have that and much more. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game, 1025, 106. I just said that.
Say it again, buddy.
Do you realize I just did that twice?
Say it again.
That could be a promo. That's a good one. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. I won't stay the station for a third time.
Okay. That's okay, buddy. That was good. You got a lot going on. You have like 9 jobs here, man.
So. I do. And
making, you know, things happen.
As much as I ask for 9 to 11 to be left alone, it doesn't happen.
That's so okay, man.
That's okay. All right, our question of the day.
Who one athlete that you know because of one thing they've done, preferably a good thing, but good or bad, that you know that the only reason you heard of him. I figured his name out. John Norwood, the Vanderbilt baseball player that hit the home run in 2014 to beat Virginia.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from him since then, never knew him before then, but he hit a home run.
Yeah.
And he goes down in Vanderbilt history, athletic history, the home run. So John Norwood's a guy that I know because of one thing.
Yeah.
You have a very – a Tyrone Prothrow is a great one.
Michael says, one athlete I know for one good thing, D. Brown. He won the 1990 slam dunk contest with Reebok pumps.
Oh, D. Brown. Good Lord. That's going way back on that. I said another one last night was Leon Lett.
Yeah.
I mean, Leon Lett's a good player. But you think of Leon Lett, you think of two things, basically. The Thanksgiving Day when he hit the football, when he went after the blocked field goal, and the Don Beebe in the Super Bowl when he had the touchdown.
Yeah.
And he started celebrating, and Beebe knocked the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, I know. Rick and Gallatin, Pat Tillman. I mean, Pat Tillman is kind of known for, you know, his sacrifice for our country.
That's a fantastic one.
Ryan Lochte, never knew he existed until he had all the drama that happened in Brazil.
Yeah, 2016. That's correct.
Justin and Green, that was from Steven. Justin says, Braden Narveson, because of his 59-yard kick on Saturday. Never heard of him before, but I know him now, and I'm kind of thinking I want him over Folk. All right, let me address that real quick. Because I was kind of that way. I was like, uh-oh, there could be a kicking controversy now. However, as Jared pointed out to me and has pointed out to a lot of people, Nick Folk is guaranteed $3.5 million. They're not cutting Nick Folk.
But if they trade him, they save
$2.5 million? Right. They could trade him. What it could do is you know, give them, you know, trade bait for either one of them. So, you know, that could certainly be something. Denison Spring Hill says Michael Vick. I know where you're going with that. I'm going to disagree. Michael Vick's known for – he is known for a bad thing.
He is.
But he's known for a good football career, too.
I mean, I knew about him at Virginia Tech. We knew about him in Atlanta. Did he in overtime beat the Packers with a big run? So we knew things about that with Michael Vick. But I get what you're talking about.
All right, 615-737-1025. Chris Weber calling a timeout that his team did not have in the national championship game in 93.
I could see that. That's a good one. I'm playing North Carolina. I'll never forget that.
Like, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And remember her boyfriend's name? No. I always said it like Tom Brokaw. Jeff Galuli. That's one name I'll never forget.
Well, I won't now because I'll hear you as
Tanya
Tom Brokaw.
Harding, Jeff Galuli.
David Tyree.
Yeah. You guys are fantastic. That is an excellent one. Never heard of him before. Heard of him very little afterwards.
Let's see. Sam Hurd, former Cowboy. Tommy says Sam Hurd with drugs, former Cowboy.
I don't remember that guy.
I don't remember Sam Hurd either. Fernando Tatis Sr., two grand slams in one inning. That's a good one. Here you go. 3-2-5-1. Now we remember him here. LeGarrette Blount in Oregon.
Yep. So let me a quick story on that. So he was with the Titans. And I'm telling you, man, there was before the last preseason game. There, Fisher will deny this all day long, and so will Chuck Cecil, but they had the defense taunt Blount during practice. I was there. It was a Sunday night practice. It was late to see what he would do, and he snapped. and it was Bakhtiari. His brother plays for the Packers. He was on the Titans team. He blunt snapped. They bullied him and taunted him the entire practice. And I'm telling you, man, it was set in stone to see what he would do. And blunt snapped. I remember taking the video. I sent the video to ESPN. It was like their number two story on a Sunday night. Then they tried to get Blunt in through waivers, and then Tampa's like, we're going to take him. And then he was gone after that. When I remember LeGarrette Blunt, I always remember that Sunday night practice when I asked Fisher about this. Oh, we didn't do that. I'm telling you, man, they had the defense taunt Blunt, and that's exactly what happened. It was not a pretty situation.
Yeah. And look, I've actually spent some time with LeGarrette. And, you know, talked about that before. I mean, obviously, he was young. He learned a lot from it. But, I mean, it was a career changer for him.
How much are you going to take?
Right.
If you're taunting me, I can only take
right.
so much.
Exactly.
I'm fighting back.
Yeah, exactly. 615-737-1025. Ben wants to answer on the phone line. Ben, what's up? Hey, Ben.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Sean Bradley and Tim Nowatzki are my two.
Why Sean Bradley? Because he was 7'6"?
Well, Space Jam. I tell people, oh, yeah, Sean Bradley. And they go, who? I go, the tall white dude in Space Jam. Oh, yeah, I know who he is.
That's a good point.
That's a good one.
But he also lives in my hometown. And then Tim Nowatzki is a former BYU football player that nobody knows, but he was my dermatologist.
Oh, okay, nice. What about Trevor Maddich? You know him?
Who?
Trevor Maddich.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday with Jared, 4:30, BYU
That's right.
guy.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks for the call, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Shout out to dermatologists everywhere.
Yeah, love a good dermatologist.
Who's your dermatologist?
I don't have one.
Dr. Crane, you got one?
My mom has a friend that's a dermatologist, yes.
Oh, yeah. Nikki, where you been?
She's an esthetician, I guess, is the best way to put
it. Oh,
she
keeps stats?
No, not a statistician, esthetician. A little different. Marcus Lattimore, by the way, former South Carolina running back. He shattered his knee.
Yeah?
Yeah.
By who? Remember who hit him? Eric Gordon.
Really?
From Hillsborough High School, played at Tennessee. Mm. That was an awful, awful injury. Yes.
That was gruesome.
Yep. I think he's still doing stuff. He was part of the South Carolina Athletic Department because he was so beloved in South Carolina.
Yeah, I think he might be a part of the staff in some capacity.
Yep.
Coming up next, a pretty cool announcement that we're going to help out with the Nashville Fairgrounds. We'll tell you more about that on the other side. Obviously, you know, the fairgrounds near and dear to us here on this show. Plus, we'll get back into the Titans and the question of the day on the Chasing Big Joe show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You know, we like to talk a little racing. Speaking of, the race, NASCAR Cup Series race for Michigan got rained out yesterday. You can hear the conclusion of that on 94.9 The Fan starting at 10 o'clock. You know, so you can bounce back and forth. Listen to us. Listen to a little racing. Let's bring in my buddy Joe Williams. Of course, he is my partner in the booth at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Ally 400 weekend. Hello, Joe. What's up?
Man, what is going on, fellas?
It's good to talk a little racing with you and everything. We obviously had some fun in June, but I know there's a lot more racing that's been happening in our city over at the famed Nashville Fairground Speedway.
There has been. There will be. You've got three events, including the All-American 400 coming up in October. Plus, you've got the Music City Grand Prix at the Super Speedway coming up in September. And we cap it off in November. I'm here to, as a representative of the board of directors of the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway Hall of Fame and Chase, we are ready to announce the newest inductees into the Nashville Fairgrounds Hall of Fame.
So you're going to do this live on our show. This is pretty awesome.
This is the announcement, yes.
All right. We'll go for it.
All right. There are two groups, Chase. The board has a group of early drivers, early era, we call it, kind of the pioneers, if you will. And this year, out of a group of six, the inductees will be going in together, Kenneth and Dennis Weiser, They were a father-son team whose success as drivers and car owners spanned a couple of decades. Dennis was also one of the original members of what was known as the Kitty Corps. Four drivers who grew up together racing, Mike Alexander, Sterling Marlin, Dennis Weiser, and Chubby Crow. So they are going in together as a father-son team.
Very cool.
The next inductee, we are adding another female to this group. Gloria Taylor was one of the first women to venture into the sport. She came from a racing family. She had great success across the board. And Gloria Taylor is one of our inductees for 2024. And the final inductee from the early era, if you will, and I'm just so proud of this one. The board did such a great job here. Probably has been overlooked for several years, but Joe Caldwell, who was a longtime racing writer for the Nashville Banner, just a great guy, and we lost Joe a few years ago. But he and Larry Woody, for years, Larry was with the Tennessean, and Joe was with the Banner. They were great friends. They traveled together, but they competed against each other for stories. And Caldwell was just a great rider, and he was so supportive of the racetrack, and he wasn't afraid to call the track out if they had a problem. And that's, man, I'm telling you, that's the one. That one got me excited when I read the announcement.
That's very, very cool. So before we get to the modern era, I guess is how you would put it, what is the process of, you know, going through and, you know, guys like you just said that may have been overlooked or for whatever reason hadn't been put in yet? What kind of was that process?
Well, each year the board of directors sits down and they come up with a list. And that list currently probably has 40 to 45 names or more on it. And they go through a process and narrow that down to six in each category. And then they have their discussions. And that's how they come up with the final three that go in. It is a very deliberative process. I am not a voting member. I serve as an advisor to the board, but I get to see how they work. And I mean, it's so many of these folks probably need to go in now, but it's just getting everybody in. It's a very deliberative process, and I'm really proud of the work they do. There will be folks who are disappointed, I know, but if they just understood the work that goes into it, man, it's a nonprofit organization. These folks are just, they're really extremely careful, cautious. Their hearts are there. But that's the process. There's a long list that gets narrowed to a list and then gets narrowed down to the inductees.
All right, Joe, once again, give the names again of those that are going to be inducted.
All right, out of the early era, it's Joe Caldwell from the Nashville Banner, Gloria Taylor, and Kenneth and Dennis Weiser.
Very, very cool.
Going in as one.
All right, let's get to the modern era.
In the modern era, Mike Reynolds. Mike is a driver whose career covered championships on the quarter mile and the limited division. He won in the trucks and won a championship in the truck division. He won a championship in the late model division. He won almost 35 races. He captured a NASCAR regional championship back in the 90s. Mike Reynolds is going in. Well-deserved. The next inductee from the, quote, modern era, Johnny Toney Jr. Now, Johnny's another one from a long line of the racing family. His mother and father both raced. His brother Jeff raced. His brother Joe raced. Johnny was king of what we call the mini modifieds, both on the quarter mile and on the big track. Johnny won three titles on the quarter mile alone in the four-cylinder cars. He had to tell me what it was. He had a particularly bright yellow machine And it was a John. I didn't know what it was until he finally told me. It's a John Deere yellow with John Deere, you know. It just neat. You couldn't figure it out. But that John Deere yellow number 53 was always a threat to win. And like I said, a three-time champion. And they did a really good job. It was a tough job this year to get it down to three. And the final inductee in the modern era is Bob McCracken.
Okay.
You may not know Bob's name, but you know Bob. Bob is a longtime sponsor through his Town and Country Ford dealership up in Madison. Bob has sponsored more drivers to more titles on both the quarter mile and the big track than any other in Nashville history. And I'm not convinced he may not hold the record for all-time victories at that racetrack as a sponsor. It's a 40-year commitment to the track. He's won regional and national titles with his drivers. And currently, Town and Country Ford is sponsoring pro late model driver Benny Hamlet, limited late model driver Peyton Hamlet, and legend driver Gavin Veach at Nashville. Bob has sponsored events and cars at the Super Speedway. He's just committed to racing, and he is well deserving. I'm excited for Bob.
Yeah, well, and you know, we have a lot of time to sit in the booth and, you know, wait for stuff to happen at Nashville Super Speedway. So we tell a lot of stories. So Bob has come up a time or two.
More times than once, yes.
Yes, for sure. That's awesome, Joe. One more time, the modern names.
In the modern era, it is Johnny Toney Jr., Mike Reynolds, and Bob McCracken. Now, the induction dinner will be on Wednesday, November 6th, and it is open to the public.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Tickets are available. Yes. So anybody who wants to come and see this bunch can come join us. I think last year we had about almost 500 folks show up. It is a tremendous night. I'm honored to be the MC for that night, and it just keeps getting better every year.
Well, that's going to be really cool, and obviously, as we said to start this, a lot of racing in our city, whether it's the fairgrounds, the Nashville Super Speedway, NASCAR, IndyCar, you know, really excited for the IndyCars to crown a champion at Nashville Super Speedway coming up next month. That's going to be really cool, and then everything happening, you know, at the fairgrounds, and you're right there in the middle of it, my friend.
Tell you what, I'm excited about this Music City Grand Prix of the folks have never, if they've never seen the Indy cars, they went to the first two Grand Prix. That's a great road course downtown. But I remember the years when they ran at the Super Speedway and 210, 212, not uncommon speeds and down the back stretch and through the tri-oval. You know, they were averaging 2.5, 2.2 to 2.05.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say they're literally flying, were it not for the ground effects holding them down, they would be.
Joe, on that same thing, I've got some friends who are like, I love it was downtown. I'm not going to go all the way out to the Speedway. And I'm telling them, like, you got to see it at the Speedway. And you just kind of accented that point where this is fun. Downtown was a blast. But see that speed at the Speedway is something else. If you love racing, you need to go to this.
Oh, absolutely. And if, you know, if you enjoyed downtown, I promise you, you will enjoy the Super Speedway. And I would love eventually to maybe see, you know, one of each.
Yeah.
Or maybe a rotating basis. And the drivers like it because it changes it changes what they have to adapt to. I'm anxious to talk to Joseph Newgarden, who, of course, won his second Indianapolis 500, because – that's the one thing that the Indy guys do really well is that combination of street course, road course, and oval. That, you know, NASCAR's kind of following that formula too, but these guys, I'm telling you, it will kind of be like going. If you can't go to Indianapolis, you need to go to Nashville.
Yeah, 100%, and it's going to be fantastic, and I need to check this. You can probably check this for me. Is Scott Dixon the only one left that I know Joseph raced out there in Indy Lights, I think, but so maybe there's a few others. But is Scott Dixon the only one that raced there?
I think so. And one thing, he's the only one who won there who's still racing unless Elio jumps in.
Yeah, but, well, true.
Yeah, depending on what he wants to do. But Scott won the last two or three. I mean, he learned how to dominate that place, and I know he has got to be just chomping at the bit to get back.
Yeah, and he also won on the street course as well. But, Joe, thanks so much for joining us today. This is a really cool thing, and I'm glad that you're getting to be a part of it. And looking forward to November 6th when all these guys and gals go into the Fairgrounds Speedway Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Hope you'll come out and join us.
Absolutely, okay. I will. Thanks, Joe. Talk soon.
All right, buddies. Y'all have a great day.
You
see
too.
You, Joe.
Bye. Joe Williams joining us from the Nashville Fairgrounds, and again, a place near and dear to our hearts because of the history that it has in this city, and a place that needs to be here for a very, very long time.
Agreed, my man.
All right, we'll get back into our question of the day and thoughts from the Titans' second preseason game. What's the plan moving forward? We'll discuss that and much more next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
How do you plan to maybe approach final preseason game and decide who needs work, who doesn't, as you head closer to the season?
My intention as of today, again, that can change as the week unfolds with the injuries and who's available and all that stuff. My intent is to play the starters, play a significant amount of snaps for a preseason game. I'd like to see our starting offense play, you know, somewhere in the three-ish series, whatever that might look like. You know, defensively, we have a number of guys that aren't going to play anyway. Obviously, Cheeto and Legarius and Jeffrey and Harold won't play, but I'd like to see some of those guys that didn't play last night play a little bit this week. But again, that's fluid at this point, just with, you know, nicks and bruises and all that stuff. But I would like to play. I'd like our starters to play. I think we need to. And I'd like to see a little bit more football, because then we'll be off for what amounts to, you know, close to 2 weeks before the opener. So they won't see the field again playing live football, and I think that we need to play.
That was Brian Callahan this weekend on his plan now for preseason game number 3. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. So what do you think? You think the starters should play? And what's been interesting, before you answer that, what's been interesting is to watch how every team has handled it, because it's been different across the league. Like, you've had some teams play the starters in game one, didn't, and then they did in game two, or what have you.
I think they should play a half. I think they need to get the game working, at least take them into the second half. We have to get out of this mindset, and I'm guilty of it as well. Well, what if he gets injured? What if, you know, Simmons gets injured? If it happens, it happens.
It's called football. It's a violent sport.
If it happens, you get injured, you get injured. But you got to practice. The problem with the NFL, they don't practice.
Right.
They don't hit. It's in a game, you have to tackle. You have to hit. So I like it. I think they should play a lot. And I think the probably Saints will probably do the same. They didn't play a lot of their starters last night against the Niners.
Carr played.
But, yeah, they didn't play a lot. I mean, you want to see those guys into the second half, and why not? You want to see your team come back out. It's just that what we're seeing now is not good across the league. And I think Brian Callahan's a great coach, but I think a problem the NFL has, Chase, there are too many nice guys coaching in the National Football League. I just think that's a problem.
Well, and
I don't think there's enough jerks.
Right, and the thing is that, you know, what generally happens, there's two things that generally happen when you make a coaching change. If your previous guy was a defensive coach, you go to an offensive coach. Titans did that. If your previous guy was an a-hole, you go to a nice guy. Titans did that.
For example, the Jets, Robert Saleh, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers misses minicamp, and it was like, okay, no big deal. Where was the anger?
Yeah, I don't really know what he does.
Right?
I'm just going to be honest with you.
We love.
I forget he's the coach.
Right. We love Mike McDaniel, Miami, but I think he's too nice.
Yeah.
There's no fire and brimstone there. And I watch the Hard Knocks. It's not there. And I'm going to talk about some of these coaches as well. You go down the league. Who's a jerk? I mean, Mike Ditka was a jerk, but he won. Bill Belichick was a jerk, but he won. You go on and on. Who's a jerk coach in NFL?
Jerk in the league right now.
That's winning. That's successful.
Tomlin can be when he needs to be.
Okay,
I think Mike Tomlin is the perfect example of, like, if you're going to design a coach, I would start with him, because He can be nice when he needs to be. He can be an ass when he needs to be.
Okay.
Well, like first, he's got a good.
Yeah. Let's watch language. Dr. Crane's back there today.
Okay. Sorry.
I like
my Dan. Ears, they can't do it.
I like Dan Campbell.
I'm Nikki.
Hey, watch it, a mouth.
You get hit with a wooden spoon. It's happened before.
I'm bringing me the soap.
You got hit by a wooden spoon?
Oh, I mean, not directly, but indirectly, yes.
What the hell does that mean?
That's how you
get hit or not?
Well, my grandmother used to do this to my aunt and uncle before when they were kids. They would not aunt, but uncles. She would throw the wooden spoon like almost at them, but, like off to the side.
Yeah,
so just to scare them.
You did scare them, yeah, and did the same thing to
She's
me.
She's like, fine. Here's how Satchel Paige did it. And then hums a 106-mile-per-hour wooden spoon past your head. You don't mess with Nani, man.
No, nope, you got that right.
All right, so Dan Campbell. I think Dan Campbell can be a jerk at times, but it's probably nice. But I'm like the NFC West. Arizona. Who's the coach of Arizona? He's a really nice guy.
I forget his
name. The guy from the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
The coach of the Rams.
McVay,
right? Yeah. Who's the coach of the McDermott's, the Bills?
Yeah.
Nice guy. Shanahan, nice guy. Seattle coach, whatever that guy, new guy. Nice guy, right?
Okay. But the thing is, where's
the jerks? Where's the guys that you – I mean, where's that old school coach? Andy Reid gets a little upset at times, but yeah. Not so much. I miss that. I'm looking at the league. I don't see any.
So who's the biggest jerk head coach in the league right now?
I mean, Matt LaFleur looks like he bags my groceries at Publix. He does like an NFL coach. Who's the Vikings' new coach now? What's that guy's name?
Kevin O'Connell.
He'll be out soon.
He was one of Brady's backups back in the day.
The Bears, Eberflus, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, he's...
I don't know much about
that. From what I understand about him, he's kind of a putz.
Where are the jerks? I mean, where are the old school that, you know, get it done around the... I think there's too many nice football coaches around. I think Callahan's... The day he didn't throw Simmons out of practice, I lost a lot of respect for Brian Callahan that day.
Look, I chalk that up as... you get a little – he's a rookie head coach. I chalk that up as that's a mistake. That's one he wants back. Now, you know, how does he handle it the next time is what I want to see. But, you know, back to the original question.
Sorry.
It's fine. Good discussion. I kind of like how he's handled it, where starters got a few series in game one. They had the practices in week two, so they didn't play game two, which was fine, and then go in, and I agree with you, I think they need to get into the procedure and the routine of a game in game three, and if that means playing through the first half and going through halftime, I'm okay with that. You know, like if there's a couple of guys that you're going to hold out, then fine. But, you know, I believe that Levis, that offensive line, the two running backs – as many of those starting receivers as you can muster. I mean, I get D-Hop's probably not going to play. Anybody that's healthy. Now, if they're not healthy, then okay, keep them out. I get it. But, like, I think Simmons should play. You know, we haven't even touched on this yet. I guess Arden Key not going to be suspended for the first six games, according to Titan insider Jeffrey Simmons, putting that out there, which I have some thoughts on that too. Play as many of your ones as you can, and I agree with you, for at least a half.
Yeah, I absolutely.
But I like the idea, too. I remember Jeff Fisher used to talk about this, that he liked to play guys through halftime because then you go into the locker room, you kind of get used to that, yep, where you cool down a little bit, and then you got to come back out for the second half.
I love it. I just think, I mean, what are we doing with these preseason games? Yeah. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse each year. If you're not going to play, then just have practices like college has for the whole month. But these owners are so damn greedy. They want the money they get from the preseason games. I guess I understand that. But figure something out. I mean, this is just really bad. Play. I mean, if you're injured, that's fine. I get all that. But you're going to see that secondary, the first time the secondary is fully together is against Caleb Williams, when Cheeto and Sneed and Diggs and Amani Cooper, what's his name?
Booker.
Hooker, what did I say?
Cooper.
What's his first name?
Amani.
Amani Hooker.
Yes.
Amari Cooper.
Yes.
Okay. When they're out there, do we really want to see them opening game?
No.
Versus the Bears?
No, I 100% agree with you. So we will see what ends up happening with that. 615-737-1025. I got some more thoughts on the Titans' second preseason game and some things that I saw and some things that I don't need to see anymore. We will discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063.
And our question
and
of
our
day.
Question of the day. We'll get back to that as well. Go ahead and throw it out there.
What is one athlete, the response has been fantastic on our text line, what is one athlete that you only know because of one thing they've done? Preferably good, but being good and bad. One athlete that you know because of one thing that they've done. Example, Chase said Tyrone Prothro from Alabama. I had Tim Smith, the Redskins running back in the Super Bowl. You know them for the one thing. What's somebody that comes to mind when you think about the one thing? We want to hear your responses.
615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game.